The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Mark. Jesus and his disciples left the synagogue at Capernaum and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons, and the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go on to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do." Please be seated. Well, welcome again to our service this morning. It's great to have all of you here and our visitors and scout parents and scout leaders and our scouts. It's a great day. In our church, this is known as the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany. However, it's more widely known as the High Holy Day of Super Bowl Sunday. I'm not sure what I think about having our day held hostage by a football game. The Super Bowl is certainly the most watched event television show in the United States every year. And I think it would probably have a higher rating than if they televised the second coming of the Messiah. But here's something that those out there don't know. Those in the world, we in here have a secret advantage over them because we already know the winner. I have this figured out because most of the world doesn't know, has no idea this is Scout Sunday. They might know that the most coveted scouting rank is that of Eagle. And we have several Eagle Scouts in our building today, which to me is an obvious sign from God that the Eagles will fly. I see there's others that are against the evil empire in here also. Take it to the bank. Okay, well, let's get to the Bible and see if we can make the good news of the gospel message as compelling as a football game. We're reading in the first chapter of Mark. Last week we read some verses before this, and we learned that it was the Sabbath, and Jesus and the first called disciples had gone to a synagogue in Capernaum, and people were astonished by Jesus' teaching. And while he was teaching, though, he was interrupted, remember, by a man possessed of an evil spirit, which Jesus promptly drove out from the man, and that astounded the crowd and those that were gathered all the more. And they asked each other, "Who is this? Who is this that teaches with such authority that even the unclean spirits obey him?" So now, having accomplished what his purpose was in the synagogue for the day, Jesus and the disciples are now, as we read this morning, heading over to Simon Peter's house. Maybe Peter knew that his mother-in-law was sick and asked Jesus to go, or maybe they were just paying a friendly visit or going by for dinner. But at any rate, as soon as they got there, there clearly was a lot of concern about Peter's mother-in-law's health, because he is told about her the moment that he gets there. And so he goes into her room and bends down and takes her by the hand. And as she gets up, the fever leaves her. She is healed and feels so good that she begins to serve her guests. Another mission accomplished, right? except that the word of her healing spreads so fast and so far that by the time their meal is finished, about sundown, people are all now lined up outside the front door. It seems like the whole city's out there clamoring for Jesus to come out and work his miraculous powers on them also. And Jesus did touch as many of them as he could. And they were cured of whatever ailed them. They were all touched by Jesus. I love the idea of that. I wonder what it would be like to be literally touched by the hand of God. I think that's what draws us here on Sunday. What brings us to this place to feel touched by God. To be touched by God through our worship and prayers. To be touched by God by hearing Scripture read. To be touched by God when we receive the body and blood of Christ up here at the altar. Being touched by God through our fellowship with each other. The truth is that we bring ourselves before the Holy One in much the same way that those folks outside Peter's door did in Capernaum. So that we will be touched, so that God will touch us, take our cares and pains away. Touch us, make us whole. Anyway, Jesus evidently healed and drove out demons until very late in the night, I suspect. But even after that long day of teaching in the synagogue and healing practically the whole city, he's up very early, rising while it is still dark the next morning, and he goes off by himself to pray. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm sure I would have been mightily tempted to sleep in, have a late breakfast, hang out with the guys the next morning, you know, soak up a few accolades for all the great healing of the day before, that kind of thing. Jesus obviously wasn't tempted by that sort of notion. He got up early and went off by himself to pray, to be renewed, to be refreshed, to be touched by the Father. So when the disciples awake, they discover that Jesus is nowhere to be seen. There's already a line again outside the door. And so they start frantically looking for him. And when they finally found him, they come rushing up, full of enthusiasm of what they had witnessed the day before and ready for him to do it all over again. "Master, Master, you must come back," they shout. "Everyone is searching for you." But much to their surprise and dismay, Jesus says, "No. No, that's not what I'm intending to do today. I'm not here just to give people what they think they want. I'm here to proclaim the good news of God's kingdom to everyone. So let's get moving. Let's get on with God's business in the next town." You know, we focus so often on Jesus' individual acts of miracle acts of healing and things of that nature that I think we forget how well and how Jesus always keeps the big picture in front of him. Never gets too comfortable in one place, does he? And I see that as a primary lesson for us this morning. There's something inherently dangerous to becoming too comfortable in our place. God wants us to always be looking down the road to the next thing that we can be doing for his kingdom, not basking in the glory of yesterday's accomplishments or good deeds, but looking ahead. We do a good deed every day, right? Don't do one yesterday and talk about it today. We are always to be about thinking of and finding new opportunities to see what we can do to help heal a broken world. Jesus is clear that he has a larger purpose than just helping those who come to the door. His charge is to take the gospel on down the road. And I believe that he intends the same for us. To not be content with witnessing and helping those who find their way in here, but to take what we know about God's love out there. I have an example. Those of you who are members here know what a vestry is and a vestry retreat is. Vestry is the lay governing body of our church, and once a year we have a Friday night, Saturday getaway where we do a variety of look at a variety of different things. On Friday night, we happened to have a guest speaker from one of the outreach or social service agencies here in town named Attack Poverty. Attack Poverty is a faith-based organization that's working in Fort Bend County, particularly in North Richmond and North Rosenberg, to try to break the cycle of generational poverty. Richmond and Rosenberg easily have the highest poverty rates of any of the incorporated cities in Fort Bend County. Theirs both run a little over 20%. In third place, I believe, is Stafford. It's something like 7 or 8%. So our towns have three times the poverty rate that other towns, even the closest town to us in that category. And the speaker from Attack Poverty was Brandon Baca. He's the director of operations for them. And what he talked about was what the definition of poverty is, some of that, but he also talked about how we react to it. And he said that relief, providing something, is a temporary fix. And certainly that sort of thing, relief, is appropriate in the aftermath of an event like Hurricane Harvey. But when it comes to generational or persistent poverty, Attack Poverty believes that poverty is symptomatic of an underlying brokenness, a brokenness in relationships, a brokenness in community, and particularly, especially, spiritual brokenness. And so their approach is to work on that brokenness rather than jump in and immediately start trying to fix the poverty problem that results from the brokenness. And they begin by doing a simple but hard thing to do. They walk the streets and they knock on doors, and if invited in, they sit and listen to the stories of those who are unable to make their resources and their needs match. They begin by listening. And one of the first questions they ask is not what's wrong, but what is working. He said many of the folks have been living in those neighborhoods for generations, so something is keeping them there. There's a reason for staying, and so they try to find out what that something is, and from there determine what resources they might have. The idea being to augment what the community already has with training or with equipment or maybe a place in which they can come together and meet, and to do that as a way of helping them help themselves. After a couple of years of listening and gathering resources and training a few leaders from the community, Attack Poverty then established a sub-organization that's known as Friends of North Richmond. And some of you may have, our church has done quite a bit with Friends of North Richmond. Some of our scouts may have done that also. They're very active, obviously, in North Richmond. And they have a spacious community building now. I visited there a few times and observed some of the activities that go on. They have 50 school children enrolled in their UCAN Academy, which is just simply after-school tutoring by volunteers, some from the community, some from outside. There are GED preparation classes, ESL classes, jobs for life training, computer classes, and all of those are sprinkled with prayer and Bible study. Every class, every meeting has a prayer and a reminder of God's love. And the positive results are measurable. The community sees what's going on, and they've begun to believe that someone actually cares, and so they work harder to succeed themselves, and they begin to be the teachers and the tutors. And I can tell you, it's inspiring to hear Brandon's stories of how people are learning to help and depend on each other instead of waiting for someone to come in from the outside with a handout. Friends of North Richmond is transforming lives through empowerment and prayer and faith, which is obviously more long-lasting than relief. We'll have, the volunteer coordinator for Friends of North Richmond will be here next Sunday in our Sunday school hour at 9:30, and I invite all of our guests and scouts, if you want to learn more about that, come at 9:30 and hear Elise Kaufman, and you might accidentally stay for church too. That'd be great. 9:30 in the parish hall. The fact is that we are all gathered here because we have charitable hearts, because we have a desire for a closer relationship with our God. And we understand that moving closer to God involves transformation, involves ongoing transformation. Transformation that takes place through our prayer and our worship and our participation in Christian community together. It happens through the relationships and ministries that come out of interacting with each other in our common faith. And it happens by stepping out of our comfort zones and offering a hand up to others that also want to change their lives and be transformed. The people of Capernaum would have loved to have kept things just the way they were that day, had Jesus right there with them taking care of all their problems. But Jesus is clear that he didn't come to fix everything, to make an imperfect world perfect. Instead, he came to challenge us, to take on the work of God, challenge us to come and show us about loving and caring for others. And he came to commission us to go out and spread the good news of God's kingdom by living out what we say we believe. It's not easy. Brandon said it could take a generation for things to really change for good. But as the tutors in North Richmond always remind their students when the student confronts a difficult problem and says, I don't think I can do it, they say, yes, you can. That's why this is the You Can Academy. Same goes for us. Together with God's help, Calvary can. Amen.